to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
I am not afraid of the consequences of my honesty.
And Dale Hummel.
Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ryan, it's good to be back, and I wanted to express a formal thank you to you and Clifton for covering while Chase and I were on adventure in Africa. So thank you.
I'm the most disappointed the lion did not eat you.
It's interesting. While we were there, there was a tourist in Namibia killed by a lion. He was on a high-end safari, simply went out of his luxury tent in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And
this is why the lion was at the wrong place. You were like the Motel 6.
Yes, we were either staying in the SUV or in a much less expensive place. And the lion must have good taste. They like the high end.
Clearly.
You do feel bad for that, but I think that's just an assumed risk that if you're going out there, do all you can to be safe, but that's always possible. It was interesting. It wasn't a vacation, but more of just a challenging adventure. We were very fortunate, Ryan. Chase and I were smart enough to take a good friend along that has some mechanical abilities, because Chase and I have zero. He was invaluable, but you are coming next time, right?
No, I'm not.
We talked to some others while we were there. They've been to Uganda and say that it's remotely safe and we can hike into the mountains for the chimps and observe chimps and gorillas. It could be good. Uganda, I'm a little worried about safety there, but I think it'll be okay.
And for all you people that are listeners to this podcast and listen to Dale rant and rave about illegal immigrants, he was feeding and clothing them in Africa. Yes.
They're not illegal.
He was feeding and clothing them in Africa and trying to smuggle them across borders.
No. I did give a Hummel Livestock t-shirt to a gentleman alongside the road that was selling some carvings and other things. But I thoroughly enjoyed the trip. I've had a lot of questions about it, particularly about the cost of it. And I can assure you, you can spend up to $3,000 to $4,000 per person per day, but you can also do it significantly cheaper if you rent the vehicle, book your own lodges or hotels. And Chase and I were able to do that cheaper than if we went to Disneyland or almost anywhere here in the States.
This is what I don't understand. And I'm not like, I really didn't want you to get eaten by a lion, but the man who spends all the money to be protected in the nice thing, he gets eaten by the lion. You who are just out there winging it with some mechanic, you're perfectly fine.
Perfectly. It's just bad luck is what I'm going to call that. Bad luck. But I don't know. But Chase and I had talked about doing a Beyond the Realm and go a little more into answering some of those questions and how to do something like that at a reasonable price.
No questions.
we're going to invite you onto that one, but I assume you were not interested in learning any more about taking a trip such as that.
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit, and this obviously is a hot topic, and I thought we should bring it up. I have no current events beyond the last 24 hours or so that I've been home, and I have had a lot of calls about the American Angus Association and the backlash that they are running into from a lot of their members from accepting $4.85 million in terms of a research grant from Bezos Earth Fund and Global Methane Hub. This does not look good on the surface by any means.
What surface you think it's going to look good on.
Well, I think there's obviously two sides to it, and I have not had time to research it. I have not.
What is the other side?
That I respect Mark McCulley, and I think he's an intelligent person. I've known him for a long time. I would trust him to make intelligent decisions. So I would love to visit with him and find out what perspective the association is coming to this with. I'm sure they put press releases out. I have not had time to research it like I should. So I'm going to be very limited in my comments. I know the philosophy that Mark had put out there. I'd heard from others that it's better to have a seat at the table. And I understand that. But sometimes we got to decide if a seat at the table lends too much credence to that table, if that makes sense. And on the surface, when we accept money from Bezos, who is highly invested in into lab grown meats and global initiative for global warming, and has pointed the finger at cattle production being a major cause of such. So I don't know that he's a true friend of the cattle industry by any means on the surface. Maybe that the thoughts are that if we can sit down and be in that discussion, we at least are having our voice heard at that table. But I'm still, on the surface, it does not look good. I'm going to reach out to Mr. McCulley and discuss it further with him. And I hopefully have a lot more information by next week's episode. But I can see why members are very angry. I understand. I absolutely understand it. It does not look real positive on the surface.
I just don't know if there, and again, I'm not saying that anybody did this for, I think the best intentions were probably there. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's any way you're going to be able to spin this, you or anybody else.
No, no,
it's my personal opinion.
I'm not intending to spin it. I don't have all the facts, but my initial response is not good. But I do have faith.
I just don't understand how you can take that amount of money from. I mean, you can just. I can give you countless examples of that. Bezos does not want to damage the cattle industry. He wants to replace it.
I agree.
He's on record.
And when you're accepting millions of dollars from a person like that, gosh, I'm sure there's more to the story. There has to be. But I don't have that information currently.
Well, all I am going to say is I think somebody that does probably have a very good grasp of the situation and is close to the situation is Herbster, and he's not having it at all.
No, he appears to be strongly opposed.
And if anybody has got a pulse on this situation, it would be him. So,
and I appreciate his political contributions, his political views, his stance. There's a lot of things I like about that man. So yeah, he seems to be speaking up for the masses, and a lot of them appear to be in agreement with him. So I know there's the call. There's a petition out there to return the money. I have no idea where it's at right now, but you would assume if there's enough members that oppose this, maybe that money does go back.
There's a survey out there too. I saw it on Tom Burke's Facebook page, and you don't have to be an American Angus member to take the survey. That's the first question to ask if you're an Angus member or not. But then it goes through all these questions about the American Angus Association taking this money from Bezos and the opinions and all this other stuff. So I thought it was a very interesting survey. I did take it. I think that everybody should go on there and take it, whether you're an Angus breeder or not. Because my deal is, and whether this is the Angus or the Hereford or the Watusis, I don't care what breed it is. When you do this, this opens the door for other breeds to say, well, the Angus people did it and it was okay. And all this other stuff. And I see a catalyst of events that goes the absolute wrong way. And so, just because this happened in the Angus breed doesn't mean everybody shouldn't be very concerned if you were in the cattle industry. So don't get that part twisted.
I can assure you
this goes way further than the Angus.
I can promise you Bezos is not just opposing the Angus breed, even though he gave them money. He opposes the cattle industry, just like you talked about, Ryan. He would like to replace the cattle industry as we know it.
Yes. And so this goes way further than the Angus breed. And so, like I said, if you feel like it, go on Tom Burke's Facebook page. There is a survey you can fill out. And like I said, I hope that Mark, they'll have a very, I like Mark. known him a long time. I hope they have a very good conversation. I hope he explains his side. I just think that this is probably a misfire.
Agreed. And you know what's interesting, and I probably shouldn't even go down this path, but I'm assuming these dollars are to do genetic research to determine which genetic lines produce more or less methane is my assumption, or gases, I should say, that may or may not be harmful to the ozone or contribute to the assumed global warming. What's interesting to me is we're chasing a lot of genetic information, trying to tie everything, even this, to something genetic and make some relevant differences or significant differences. I can assure you the statistical probability between two genetic lines, the Angus breed, let's say the worst for gas production and the best, is almost non-significant between those two, and 99% of what's going to contribute to the gases that that animal produces, even though I think even at the worst is insignificant in the big picture, is going to be the environment, what they're being fed. Genetic differences are going to have almost no true impact or no significance, in my opinion, between one that produces X amount versus Y amount of gases. So when there's such a huge sway to a environment and the feed that you're giving that animal impacting what we're trying to measure, it just doesn't make sense to me that maybe we even need to go down this path. And unfortunately, I understand having a seat at the table sometimes is better than not, but I worry this table may be formed under false pretenses.
Well, there is other news in the world other than the American Angus Association and Bezos. Elon has left the government.
He's still voicing his opinion.
Yes. And what I just don't understand is, Trump knew his opinion on this, but Elon never really spoke out about this big, beautiful bill till he left. And now it is out there. Like, he thinks it's trash. And
so is he opposed to the what Trump suggested for the big, beautiful bill, or the modifications that have been made in the House?
I'm not real sure, but it's very, he's very vocal about that. He is opposed to the big, beautiful bill as is right now.
And there are some Republican politicians that just,
I think he called it abomination.
Yes. The others are concerned that it just isn't taking enough out of the national debt. And I understand that. I also am going to be realistic. I don't think we can get back to even in one big bill that passes. We can make a dent in the problem and continue to chip away at it. But I don't know that we physically take one hard swoop at this or shot at this to eliminate our national debt by any means.
Well, my issue is not with this bill, because again, I don't know everything that goes into this bill exactly, or what the Senate changes, proposes are going to be, all this other stuff. I do know that it is the largest tax break for Americans in history. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. There's a lot of good stuff in this bill. And if you know anything about Washington, with the good, there has to be some bullshit. And that's just kind of how the system works. So I get people being, well, it's not perfect. Well, I don't know if there's ever been a perfect bill passed in Washington. My bigger issue is, and if I was Elon, where I would spend my time and my press coverage, is he did so much just astronomical work in uncovering waste, fraud, all this other stuff in his 120 days that he was in Washington, because that's all he can be there. And yet no one has voted to get rid of any of that. Why aren't we complaining about that, Elon?
I don't know. I wish, and I'm sure more will come out and exactly what Elon's upset with, but I respect his opinion, and maybe he just thinks that we can do better. We can cut more. We can help that national debt more.
Egg prices are down 61%.
Do we credit Trump for that, or maybe?
Well, Trump's not taking credit for it, but it's all over my Twitter. I just want you to know.
God, egg price. I eat a lot of eggs. I down
61%. You have nothing to say about Putin?
I don't. I'm gonna have to apologize. I once I got home, we had a sale, and we're picturing for next week. So I have no information. I've been blocked out of it all for 2 weeks. So I don't even know what's going on. Did Ukraine take over Russia?
No. But we had ceasefire talks and coming to an end, and then both sides have done some things that they weren't supposed to. It's not good.
It's a mess.
Trump's very angry with Putin, and he normally doesn't get angry with Putin. He's very angry.
Chase said something about Ukraine had a successful drone attack on Russian planes.
All kinds of things. Also, did you know it's Pride Month? Aren't you excited?
No.
You didn't know.
I didn't.
I've sent you several things about Pride Month, so you did know it was Pride Month.
I do remember your opinion on Pride Month, and I doubt that it's changed.
It has not.
Okay, just check. I thought maybe you turned over a new leaf.
No, it has not changed. I hate Pride Month. I think it's
does more damage for the gay community than it ever does positive.
Oh, for sure.
So why do they keep doing this?
Because they're nuts. Have you met a lot of those people?
You got to be careful. They're going to rebel against you.
They already do. I'm the worst gay in the history of the world. I'm fine with it.
Because you're not. I'm not saying you're not gay, but you're. We just remember we're working on that term for what you are.
I'm the worst history of the world. The reason I bring this up is not because I'm not going to bash Pride again. Everyone knows that I think that this is just ridiculous and literally does more harm for anyone that goes out there half naked, drunk, and drugged and wants people to accept them and understand them. But anyway, yeah, it makes so much sense to me. So there were all these talks that Trump was going to cancel Pride. Well, he can't cancel Pride. You can go and have a celebrate, whatever, all this other stuff. He didn't do anything like that. But your boy, Pete Hegseth, now he is making some waves because there's a naval ship that was named after Harvey Milk, who was big gay rights activist. And he's having it renamed. Pete said, no more.
Oh, my. Was this named during the Biden administration, or it's been there for a long time?
It's been there for a while. So that's made headlines. And so they don't like Pete. But the only other thing that I have to bring up in current events, since I have someone to talk to, and since you're not doing
current events the last couple of weeks?
Very short. So I don't have anybody to talk to. I try to get Clifton to come on and be the, you know, opposing side.
I thought maybe he would.
He did not. He did not. But anyway, you won't ever get caught up on it. But this whole Biden competency cover up, it's a thing now. They've issued subpoenas. They're going to have hearings. It's not. They're not going gently into that good night. Like, you know, when Trump got elected last time, he could have went after Hillary and he didn't. Well, I don't think this is necessarily him doing it, but they are not letting Biden get away in his administration.
And they should not.
Oh, I'm with you, but I don't think they should have let Hillary get away with her bullshit.
He has done more damage to this country single-handedly than anybody else in history, in my opinion.
But they are not, they're not having it.
So occasionally at 3 a.m., a satellite might pass over and we'd get a blip of internet, and I would try to post some information on Snapchat or get some news or something. One thing did come across there, and I'm sure I have no idea how much relevance it is. It could be a total hoax, but there is a post about Biden's body double.
And oh, yes.
If you take it at face value, they have some pretty impressive information. I do not know if any of it's accurate or if the photos have been adjusted, but it was interesting.
There's lots of stuff out there, but I mean, like I said,
do you think there's anything to it?
I don't know. And I don't think these hearings are going to focus on that. And, but I do find it very, very interesting that, like I said, they let Hillary go, but they're not going to let this go. And maybe it is so much worse than we know. That's why they're not letting it go. So it won't happen again, but it's something.
I think they should both be incarcerated immediately. Immediately. Well, once again, a big thank you to Showfresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order your Showfresh H2O now at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, or head over to SwampFox.com. It is time, and Ryan saved my ass last night. I said, Ryan, what is our topic? And he says, well, how about protect your investment?
This was after Dale promised me he would come up with the topic. I did. Didn't get eaten by a lion. But he
lied. I did. I had a sale yesterday, and I got a little late, and I thought, shit, I do not know. This is not unusual. I tend to maybe not have a topic the night before. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you this is I don't know how long you've had this on the books. I'm sure you've probably brought it up to me before, but I think there's a lot to this. And when you brought it up, I put a little bit of thought into it, and I don't know that I do the best job in the world protecting our investment when we purchase or retain show animals back. But what is the big picture, I guess? Give that to us first.
I think the big picture is, I think there's a lot of what, I mean, obviously everyone that does this, whether you're a breeder or just a, you know, family that exhibits animals, there's a lot of money that you invest in this. And I think for the amount of money that we all invest, we do little to protect our investment in many different ways. And I just think, you know, like I told Dale, since the start of the year, I know two pig families that their barns have completely burned down. There's all these different things that can happen. And when I brought this topic up to Dale, I think his response was, I think that's a really good topic because nobody really ever thinks about that till it bites them in the ass. And so, you know, you cannot control everything, but you can do steps to give you an upper hand on situations, and you can do things to protect your investment. And so everybody may not choose to do them, but I thought that we might offer some suggestions.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I have a theory that sometimes we spend so much on the show project, we don't have any extra money to put into protecting that project.
Right.
Not saying it's right or wrong, just sometimes that's the situation. So I don't know. I know when as a seller, and we sell more animals than we buy for show projects, but I am on both sides of it. I know that in some sale platforms, maybe the thing to start out with is, once you purchase that animal, we had a sale last night. People technically own those animals as of the auction closing, even if they weren't maybe paid for yet. But let's say that sale closed last night, Ryan. I decide that I'm going to hold these animals until there's a hauler. There was a hauler that went out this morning, so some of those animals are en route to Oklahoma and Texas already. But I may hold others for a week, 2 weeks, maybe even up to a month. And in a lot of sale platforms, the responsibility falls on the buyer as soon as that animal is purchased. In other words, if one of those goats that I sold last night gets injured or dies today, it's on the person that bought that animal. Now, in the reality of it, every time we've ever had an issue like that, I completely covered that as far as a refund, a replacement, whatever needed to be done to make that buyer happy. Even we can take it a step further, and this will open up the door a little more. Even once that animal goes on the hauler's trailer, if it was a hauler that buyer's choice or one we recommended, something happens, I've painfully covered those issues as well. So there's a lot of that, but there are sale agreements that state as soon as that animal sold, it becomes a buyer's responsibility. If that's the case, do we need to look a little harder about livestock insurance?
Well, I think that's the, you know, that's the first thing that always comes up. And, you know, if you're that's the only way to really cover your animal is livestock insurance. And I would find it very interesting to know a percentage of people that actually do this, because I don't know. And
I don't think it's very high.
I don't think it's very high either, but I will say that in my experience when I was showing, or in the experiences that I have had with families and that have shown for me that I brokered them, very few did buy livestock insurance. Like I said, for us, there was a level, and if an animal cost above a certain amount, then we insured them. And that's, you know, that was my parents, their justification, all this other stuff. And, you know, when we started showing breeding cattle, we insured a lot more than we did the steers. And so, like I said, but I don't think many people do it. And because, like I said, I was still a kid. I don't know what the costs are, all this other stuff. I understand that probably, just like most insurance, you're going to pay a lot and not use it very often. But right. In that one instance, if something does happen dreadful, is it worth it to you? And I guess that's the decision that everyone has to make. But it is out there. It is available. I think it's underused. But, you know, there you go.
And maybe we can bring a livestock insurance agent or somebody who owns one of those companies on, and they could discuss a little more. It might be worth even going that far into it. I do know that I've had a couple people that have purchased relatively expensive goats, and they would put the insurance on them. The difficulties become that the premiums are fairly high because we're insuring a biological being that anything can go wrong with. So the insurance company's taking some risk, and for that risk, they have to charge a premium that's maybe higher than what some people are going to be real happy with, and I get it. I also believe that if I had to put insurance on even half of those animals that we sell each week, to get the vet out here and to fill out the paperwork on each and every individual, it's probably not practical to be able as a seller to get all that done. I'm not saying we couldn't do it, but it would be a challenge. There'd be a lot. It would take a while to get the paperwork and everything in line and streamline that well enough that it could be efficient. But I'm
okay. Well, now, because you're in a unique position, since you're an Angus breeder that loves Bezos and you are also a goat breeder. My question for you on livestock insurance: have you ever insured a bull or a cow, like for breeding purposes, or have you insured a doe or a buck?
I have insured some of the cattle purchases, very, very few. I don't believe we've ever insured a goat.
Okay, see, there you go. And so,
and there's been some fairly high purchase. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just,
well, that's why that's why I'm asking. I mean, like I said, maybe you're the only person I know that does cattle and goats breeding wise. And so, like I said, two very different, you know, species. And as a breeder, I find that interesting that you have insured cattle, but you've never insured a breeding boat.
And I can, that's maybe the opposite.
Doe or buck.
What it should be, because the goats die much easier than cattle.
Oh, yes.
I never just stopped and thought about it. Maybe in the sense we're talking about this right now, maybe a compromise. And again, it would take more work on the seller's part and the buyer's part. Maybe you insure them for that window from the time they're purchased that would cover them getting to their destination or their home. And then once that buyer has control, they take responsibility and they're going to take that risk that, hey, I'm going to do a decent job of caring for this animal. I no longer lead it. So maybe just for that short period when it's not in the buyer's hands.
Interesting.
But it would be expensive, I think. Yeah. So I, speaking about that, if you're, I don't know, every seller is going to be different and every sale platform is going to have different contracts. What about the fact that a lot of animals are bought and sold online? How much thought is put into who's going to haul that animal from that seller to you, to the buyer, to the purchaser? I think we need to take that in consideration. We've talked about this quite a bit in the past. I don't think we've addressed it recently, but there's a lot of things that you need to take into consideration. The length of time that animal's going to be on the trailer, is that hauler going to stop at points A, B, C, D, and E and drive in circles for a while before he gets to you? What other animals are going to be pinned with that particular animal that you purchased? How full is that load? How long have these guys been doing it? Are they reputable? But I mean, that right there, I overanalyze, overthink, and stress about everything. But those things worry me. As a seller sending them out.
I think that's a very valid point. And, obviously, I'm just being completely 100% transparent here. I don't have any experience with livestock haulers, because any animal that we bought or I have sold, either that family went up there and picked it up, met somebody from, that broker, or, when I was a kid, we went and picked up all those up. There are many out there that are probably very good and experienced livestock haulers. I'm sure Dale, because he's in the business of shipping out coats every Tuesday, can be helpful there for you. I'm just not much help in that front at all. But I do think it's something that is probably overlooked in terms of protecting your investment on who's going to get it from point A to you.
And Ryan, what happens? Think about some of these haulers that are hauling a lot of fairly expensive little pigs, goats, lambs. You could even have a load of cattle. But there's going to be a lot of dollars on those trailers sometimes. And I'm sure those haulers have general insurance that would maybe cover, I'm going to assume, cover the cost of a commercial value, which doesn't come close to touching the actual purchase price. What happens if God forbid, something happened to that trailer, they're in an accident, or a significant number of those were lost, or even one of them? Who's responsible at that point?
Again,
it's a pretty gray area. I have taken on that responsibility, and once or twice it was a significant amount that I did nothing wrong. And a couple times I can think of, these were haulers that those buyers specifically, it was their choice to put them on that particular hauler's trailer. And I can say very publicly now that if it's not a hauler that I'm comfortable with or have some knowledge of, and something goes wrong or it's delayed or anything like that, I can't take responsibility at that point. If it's somebody that I recommend and say, hey, here's one we use all the time, something goes a little bit wrong, absolutely. Stand by it 100%.
There you go. I think one thing that we've discussed on this here before, but to bring this up, I think there are ways that you can also protect your investment, protect your livestock in terms of while you're at shows. And I know that some people think that I am crazy when I say stuff like this, but you were always a product of your genetics and environment. And the environment of the Texas major shows is way different than the environment of most people are used to. And so y'all aren't used to the rodeo crowds traipsing through the barns drunk and, all this other stuff. And so I am a firm believer in having a body out at the shows with the animals at all times. I could give you just literally countless horror stories.
When you say all times, you mean 24/7?
Yes, 24/7.
Not just until midnight.
No. No, I mean the whole time. I could literally spend hours giving you countless horror stories of the things that I have personally witnessed that have happened in show barns at Texas major shows, of all things that you it would literally make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And so, but a lot of people don't take it that far. But now we have cameras, and Dale's a big camera person. I look watch his cameras more than he does when he's at a goat show, but it's fine.
It drives you crazy.
Yes. And I think those are a good thing, because I think that you need to have some type of deal where you can watch those animals at shows. And I also think that, people are going to laugh when I say this. I think that you should have cameras in your barn. I do. And just so you, it's just like a baby monitoring system. So you can check it. You never know when a calf's going to hang themselves, or a pig's going to get head stuck in. There's a million things that can happen that just happen during the day while you're not at the barn. And if you have a camera system and you can monitor it, and you can see that's happening, then you can go out there and save that animal.
Absolutely. I completely on board, agree with both that, the cameras, the show, and the cameras, the barn. And Ryan, you mentioned the crazy shit that you see at night being out there with those animals.
I'm telling you, these people have no idea. They would be scared to ever go to a show again.
Even without the drunk rodeo crowd, we do have beer tents at the Midwest state fairs and county fairs. It's an issue, but even without that aspect of it. And I've stayed in the barn, and until we had the cameras, we would stay out just like what Ryan's talking about. We'd have somebody there 24/7. And the number of animals in the sheep and goat and pig barn that would escape at night and wander wherever they so choose, the animals that are getting stuck in a gate, you would be shocked of what goes on when people are gone and nothing intentionally.
Some of it's purely innocent. Yes. Some of it are drunken fairgoers, and then some of it is not innocent. I'm just going to be honest too. And so, like I said, if I'm going to shut up, because I would scare people from ever going to a show again. So next,
I will say that most of it is complete innocence, and I agree
with that. Other drunken fairgoers,
but those that choose to be bastards is maybe the best word for me to use for this, and try to cause harm to another exhibitor or another family for whatever reason. It's crap. And I wish we didn't even have to talk about it. And I wish it didn't exist, but it does. Maybe not as much as what some would make it out to be, but it does happen. And with those cameras in there, we'll have multiple cameras that basically are not only watching the stock, but cameras angled. So they're watching the other camera. So it can't be taken out or unplugged or whatever without another one catching what that is. And we've moved from just having that live feed that you can pull up on your phone, that it's digitally recorded. So we've got that as evidence. If somebody comes and does something, it's there, it's on camera. We've got it. And I'm seeing a few more in the barns. And I've had a lot of people call and ask me about it. And years ago, it was just not practical, too expensive, too difficult. But right now you can buy a Ring camera. Most of the shows have internet service. If you don't have a little AT&T or Verizon internet box, you can hook onto the show's internet. And for $30, you can have a camera accessible to your phone 24/7. It's no longer expensive to do. And even if you're not worried about somebody screwing with them, just the fact that you can wake up in the middle of the night and think, well, shit, did I latch that gate, or are they still in their pens? Just a peace of mind goes a very, very long way.
Yeah, and I stress this for in the barn too, because in your barn at home, because like I said, nobody at your barn at home are going to do anything intentional to these animals, but animals get into crazy situations all the time. And if you can check and glance and whatever and check in, then you could probably prevent something terrible from happening to one of your animals. Because if you do this, like Dale gets mad at me because I make fun, and he says something about Katie's going to do that. I was like, she's graduated, sir. It's over. And he's like, we're not from Texas. And I'm like, anyway, but if you're going to do this for 10 years with just one kid, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to die. Something's going to get its head hung under a fence. Something's going to get loose when it's not supposed to, in your own barn at home. And so if you have a way to check on those things during the day when you can't be there, I think it would be an invaluable asset to you.
I'm with you 100%. And there's one more step I would like to take, and I haven't yet. And it's probably a little more of a technical issue to figure out how to do it, but it obviously can be done. It's been done for years. I would love a camera on the trailer when we're hauling.
Oh yeah. No, I know people that have them.
Yeah. I mean, it can be done. I'm not tech savvy enough to say, here's where you go buy it and so forth, but it would not, I'm sure it's not that difficult at this point. And we'll stop and check every time we fuel up, but it's not very often. We'll stop maybe once in between fueling up to check on things if it's hot or there's a reason to. But in general, we may go 3, 4, 5 hours without checking on those animals in the trailer. And I do not personally feel comfortable with that. I do not think that's a good idea, for the record.
No, I know lots of people that have them in their trailer and they all love them. And so I think that if we had, it would probably be bad for me because that's all I would watch and I wouldn't watch the road. But anyway, I wouldn't be driving anyway. So
I bet we would be shocked what we see. It would stress me out. If they're not laying sure down and asleep and comfortable, I'm thinking something's wrong.
But I do know people that have them and they enjoy them and highly recommend them. And so there is that. You know, we've talked about cameras and stuff like that at the barn. I know of more people that have lost animals in a cooler than I ever want to think about again. And now people are putting more and more animals in a climate controlled environment than ever before, all species, all this other stuff. There are ways, and we haven't, I mean, we have two coolers out here and we've built a million of them. It seems like there are ways to protect yourself from that. Lots of different ways, but I think that is one thing that if you're going to have a cooler and you need to have a safety mechanism in case the electricity goes off, whatever happens, because I can't tell you the countless number of stories I know of people that have lost animals in just this way.
Nope, I've heard of it. And I'm going to admit guilt here. We do not have an alarm system on our cooler. We only have two calves in there. It's inside our shop where maybe it's not in direct sight. It doesn't get
crazy. But there's somebody around your house.
There is. There is. And we have insurance.
Multiple people around.
We have backup plans. So instead of one big air conditioning or freezer unit condenser, we have two smaller ones where in theory only one of them is needed to get the temperature where we want it. So if it goes out, we've got a backup. We have a backup generator, a whole farm generator that if power goes out, it keeps going. So we do have some insurance policies, right. But an alarm hooked to your phone would be probably a very, very good idea.
Yeah. And like I said, there's lots of ways to do it. I'm not going to go through and list all of them, but I mean, most of them, alarm hooked to your phone, all this other stuff. Like you said, Dale has a backup generator and you know, I understand that every situation is different. And like I said, there's somebody at Dale's place from the time those calves go into the cooler to the time that they're let out at night, if not multiple people. And so, you know, we had things on our coolers, even though we had somebody there all the time. And so depending on your situation, you know, you can take it as far as you need to or feel comfortable with. But there are also a lot of people that put those things in the morning and then they may come out at noon to check on them on their lunch break, and then they're not back to 5, and you know, or till the kids get out of school at 3, etc. And I've heard too many sad stories about situations like this that I think could have been prevented relatively easily and with not a great deal of expense to not bring it up.
And I don't think we can get service. We can't even sell service when we're in the cooler. I don't know if you can physically get a camera in there, but that would solve it too. You just click it up and check on it. But I don't know how you get service to that. I'm sure somebody could work that out.
I'm sure.
What about protecting those animals from the extreme heat and cold when you're hauling to the show? In the South, most people try to have an air conditioned trailer in Texas and in other states. We see some up here. Some of the trailers have heating units on them. My experience with the air conditioners and the heaters and the trailers, good to take the edge off. And sometimes that's all we need, but it's pretty hard to rely 100% on that. So try to use some common sense, haul when it's cooler. Don't get out there when it's crazy, crazy cold with some of those younger animals. So just put some common sense into it. And there's one, Ryan, that I don't know if it fits in this topic, but we can justify it under protect your investment. I'm going to make a statement that may offend many, but I believe it to be very, very accurate. Across the show industry, across species, I'm going to tell you that 80% of the animals that hit the show ring have a parasite load higher than what I would feel comfortable with. I'm not saying a load that's given the screaming shits. I'm not saying a load that you can look at them and say, well, that one's skeleton thin and wormy and all the typical things you would think of from a commercial standpoint. But if we have a parasite count that's very high at all, what we're doing is taking away the ability for that animal to absorb those nutrients to maximize the absorption of those nutrients to make sure that that hair coat is perfect, make sure that they're getting enough bloom to transition everything as smoothly as possible. So not saying it's harming the animal from a commercial standpoint, any true damage or significant damage, but when we're trying to make these show animals absolutely elite, we need to be able to have that skin and hair perfect. We need to make sure we've got enough bloom on them or body condition to be exactly where we want it to be, not too thin, not too fat. And if we're fighting even a minimal parasite load, it's harder to do those things. And I know people are going to think that's crazy, but we run fecals in-house on our animals and everything that we sell, we offer that service. And oftentimes, if somebody's showing our goats, they're also showing lambs and pigs or cattle. I tell them just to send those in. It doesn't take long for us to run them. We do it free of charge. You would be shocked. Even some of the very best families in terms of management and their parasite protocols are in place. Almost all of those animals are going to have a load, a parasite load or infestation. And that's normal. It's okay. It's hard to get to zero. But we have to keep that as close to zero as possible. And the veterinarians out there are going to go crazy on me because this also complicates the problem. When we worm more and try to control parasites more, we build more and more resistance and it becomes more difficult each and every year. And we have to up the doses. So there's a lot of things I don't like about going that heavy of parasite control, but I can assure you at the competition level we're at, if you have much of a parasite load in those animals, you're not going to get the job done.
You're not wrong.
Did we offend anybody on that one?
Oh, I think
80% of the show population.
I don't know if you. I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to what you say. I don't know if anyone that takes it to the level that you do that I'm aware of.
And I tend to overdo things sometimes.
But I think there is a lot of truth to what you say, and I think that people should be more mindful of it for sure. Maybe not to the level that you go, but
agreed.
But definitely more mindful of it. And it's a very good point. And
we spend that much money on it.
Yeah.
Gosh darn, let's do the little things that don't cost a lot. That are
right. And like I said, we won't cover every single way that you can be better at protecting the amount of money that you put in to these show animals, or whether you're a breeder or an exhibitor, but we're just trying to, you know, hit some of them for you. And, barns catch fire and stuff like that. I don't know what the best way to prevent or have a prevention system for this is. But like I said, I know of two pig people that lost animals in their barn already this year. I know there's got to be a ways that the once again, if you have a video system in your barn at home, you're going to know that there's got to be a way that you can check on the temperature of your barn to your phone. I know that because we've had it before, we don't now, but we had a fire alarm system in the barn that I grew up in when I was showing that was, you know, reported directly to the firehouse there in Crockett. And so I know there's ways to do it. I don't think many do. And again, how many times does this happen? Probably not much. But if it's worth it to you to have that peace of mind, there are ways to protect yourself from that.
No, and we never even think about it until we hear of it happening to a friend or somebody that we know in the show world, or it happens to us, and then all of a sudden we do. And I'm going to say, I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm going to assume that a lot of those are electrical issues that maybe we need to just pay a little more attention to. I am guilty. I'm not going through and checking wires and things like that. And maybe we need to spend a little more time paying attention to it. And it's deserved. I have one last thing, and I don't know if Ryan has any more on it, but we do everything. We put so much work into these projects, so much financial commitment to buying this project and hours and time at home preparing for the show. It shocks me sometimes that we'll do all of those things. And then at the show, we may let our guard down a little bit and let's go out to eat instead of maybe drenching at this time or some other things or just, I want to see that same effort, if not more, at the show is what we put into it at home. And I also want to be mindful of the fact that I've watched so many people show up with a pretty darn good one. They've done everything right and they get to the show and they start to get nervous thinking, well, I've got to give supplement A, B, C, D, and E, or I might not win. And that animal's never had those supplements before. And all of a sudden we start throwing the kitchen sink at them with everything in the world. We disrupt that system. They get the shits, they dehydrate. And all of a sudden we've got a train wreck of a show and a very unpleasant experience for that family. So let's be a little more mindful. Let's take the time that we need to make sure those animals are fed, watered, drenched, taken care of, give them time to rest at the show, all those things we need to do first before we decide we're going to go out to eat or we're going to do something else. And don't get into panic mode thinking just because your neighbor's drenching with such and such or they're giving a tube full of this, stick to your game plan. Don't disrupt the normal. I can assure you in that last 24 hours, all we can do is adjust fill and adjust hydration. Beyond that, there's just not a whole lot of muscle building or fat reduction, if you're going to say that, or even putting on more fat that can be done. We can change hydration, which is going to have a huge impact, and we can adjust fill to make that animal look more proportional. But don't assume you're going to do a whole lot more than that.
So I agree with this completely, but I have a funny story. And I may have told this story on here before. I'm not sure. But when I was first brokering steers, we were at the State Fair of Texas in Dallas. And with girl that showed for me, she just had this phenomenal calf. And, every once in a while, you just have that one that is phenomenal. And he's the easiest feeder. And it just one of those experiences that doesn't come around very often, that just he never had a problem, you know, all this stuff. So we're there at State Fair of Texas for a week, and we win the show. And so this guy that has been stalled butt to butt with us across the aisle a little bit down, I had noticed him for several days that he was just watching everything we did very intently. But I mean, that's the way you learn, is watching other people. And so, you know, and so the show's over and he comes up and he congratulates the girl and the mom and me and whatever. And he said, now I'm going to be honest with you. I want to know what you did when I wasn't here. And I was like, what? He said, I've watched y'all the whole time. Y'all been out here this whole time, and you've done nothing but put feed and water in front of that calf. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so I want to know what you did when I wasn't here, wasn't seeing. And I said, nothing. I said, besides sit with him. And because he didn't need any supplements or anything like that. But this man was convinced. I mean, utterly. I mean, he got to the point that he got agitated and angry that we would not tell him what we had done to this calf when he wasn't there, when we had done nothing. And because he was just that convinced that we were hiding something from him. And so I think, you know, to your point, there is that mindset that, okay, we've got a good one, and now we got to do everything in the world that we can to make it even better here in the last 3 days. And that can go way wrong, way easier than can help you.
Yeah, your risk versus reward, it's not even close. And that's a great story. And that gentleman there, I'm sure he represents a large portion of it. If we simply get carbohydrate, starch, glucose into them, that allows for water absorption. And we get water into them at the show, just basic feed and water, we're going to get hydration. We're going to get as much swelling of those muscles from hydration as we can possibly get. We're not going to upset their stomach and make them feel bad and push their top. Think about this. When we pump all these new products into them that they haven't maybe had before, anytime that you have an animal that's got an upset stomach or feeling off because of such, they're not going to look the part out the ring. Just, I guess, just implement common sense and realize, go back to Ryan's story, that a lot of those that you see are winning, it's not because of what we gave them in that last 24 hours. It's everything that went into it prior to that. And maybe it's about what we did correct at home in terms of drenching in supplements prior to the show to get them used to it, or the lack thereof, just to keep them happy and healthy. Well, I like that one, Ryan. This was good. And before we move into question and answer, I hope we get this done. I don't want to go on here and then we don't. Ryan has a episode that he completely orchestrated for next week that you're going to vote the number one episode ever.
I don't know about
now,
that.
A little pressure for you to get it all done now.
Right. No, I don't know about all that, but it will get done. I'm not, but I don't know if it'll be voted the number one episode of all time. But
I have faith. I've talked to just a few people about it, and they're excited. So you've heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Be Gone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assist with County Fair premium auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They live it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on your purchase. Question and answer time. The first one, I think we've probably already covered this. I pulled these up prior to what we were going to talk about in current events. Anonymous is that what they requested. How does the American Angus Association accept dollars from Bezos and his organizations to study methane production in cattle? Does this not give the impression that cattle are a large contributor to the allegations contributing to global warming? That's all you. They just did it. How's that for an answer?
I am going to, like I said, I've made my stance pretty clear on this. And so I'm going to wait for Dale to do his discussions, and maybe my opinion will be different then. But as of right now, I think the best word that I used was misfire. And that's where I think this is.
On the surface, I don't know. It's irregardless of both sides of the story, it's a little bit shocking to me that the members were unaware of this until after it was done. But I assume we vote on our board members and we give them the authority to speak for us. So I don't have enough information to just come out and say, here's where I'm at. But I will have that by next week. Kathy submits a question and says, Ryan, does not say anything about Dale. Ryan, I was at a show recently where Tamworth did very well under you. I think I remember this. I agree that it looked incredible for a Tamworth, but it was it a true Tamworth?
I don't know these things. I used two Tamworths this past show in Wisconsin. Again? Yes. And so this goes back to some things that I've said on here. And I am a person that I know that a lot of shows have different rules, and some it's classify your own. Some you have to put up paper, some, you know, even jackpot shows, especially in pigs. There's a lot of different ways. If I did not believe that the animal appeared to be very legit Tamworth, then I probably wouldn't have used it that far. Am I 100% certain that that is, you know, animal or any animal that I judge based on visual appraisal is following the guidelines of what every breed has to be? No. But for what I can tell in terms of the visual appraisal, you know, I have said before that, you like, there have been shows where Anguses have had horns and stuff, you know, things like this. So no, I would never use something like that to win. But animal appeared very legit Tamworth looking to me. And so that's what I went with. But I also said on that, and I will say again, it wouldn't have mattered if that particular gilt was a blue blood or a belted or a Tamworth. That gilt still would have been the champion gilt at that show, regardless of what breed or what color she was.
That was very well answered. Excellent. Jack gives us another question. I love the podcast. You may have discussed this and I missed it. I'm in the Midwest running as hard as possible in the state fair steer game. In the past, we'd slick our calves off in May. This would get the old dead hair out and allow for new growth. This year, we did not slick them off. We chose to leave it on, use plucking brushes to pull all the dead hair out we can get. I don't know which method is better at this point. If shooting for an early August state fair, what would you do?
Good luck with that one. I think that most people do slick them off. And I am not as big a believer in this as other, not in the slicking off thing, but the next thing that I'm going to talk about. A lot of these people live and die by the Farmer's Almanac. And on what days, if you slick them, it will be better for future hair growth and stuff like that. I know people that are like voodoo-like about it. And so I do think most people slick them off. Because, again, in Texas, we only have one haired show. We don't do that as much down here because you're just growing hair for jackpots and for summer shows and fall shows, excuse me. But I do believe the majority of them do it. As which method works better, I'm just going to say this, that I think that if you are committed to growing hair on your animal and you're doing all the things that you need to promote hair growth in terms of daily care, in terms of giving hair supplements, all this other stuff, I think either way you can make it work. As to which one is more beneficial, I don't have enough hands-on experience to give you an answer on that. I do know more people do slick them off.
I love that answer. And to that point, I've seen calves with great hair that have been slicked off. I've seen calves with great hair that they did not slick off. And I've seen crap hair from both. So I think the key is what Ryan said, as long as we're doing everything we can to foster hair growth and condition and skin and hair quality, I think that's more of the key than which path. And I'm going to assume each individual calf's going to be a little bit different, whether they've been better off slicked or plucked out. Yeah, that good luck with that one.
And there's no EPD for that, by the way, all you EPD.
I am not so sure about that. We probably have some type of hair EPD.
Well, I have not seen one.
Speaking of the Farmer's Almanac, I didn't discuss this with you, but Craig is moving that direction a little bit on when he dehorns and when he castrates. And
there are people that I'm telling you that, like, the Bible and the Farmer's Almanac are on their nightstands. And I mean, I know, like, and I'm not against it.
So you know what? We need to have an episode on that. It'd at least be fun. Because I think you and I are on the same page.
You're gonna have to read it because I'm not going to.
I've had so many people talk to me about these different things, and I initially dismissed it all, but these are intelligent people that have been doing these things for a very long time.
That's my problem, is the people that I know that do this, like, they're not kooks. I mean, they're not. No, but I still just like, oh my. Okay.
I wish I understood it better. I'm going to research. We'll do a topic on it. Maybe we can find the farmer's almanac expert out there. You know who would have a very strong opinion on this is Mr. Clays.
Oh geez.
He would take it into every scientific direction you possibly could.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, and thank you once again for covering while Chase and I had our adventure in Africa.
I didn't cover much. I think, like, the entire current events of the 2 weeks was like 7 minutes, so it wasn't a lot.
Got it. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?